نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا لا تتخذوا اباءكم واخوانكم اولياء ان استحبوا الكفر على الايمان ومن يتولهم منكم فاولئك هم الظالمون قل ان كان آباؤكم وابناؤكم واخوانكم وازواجكم وعشيرتكم واموال اقترفتموها وتجاره تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها احب اليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى ياتي الله بامره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين صدق الله العظيم قل Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muslims, if your fathers and your sons and your brothers and your spouses, wives for the husbands, husbands for the wives, and your relatives, وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ, five relations, closest, most dearest, fathers, sons, brothers, spouses, and now general relations. Three forms of wealth, وَمْوَالُ نِقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا, and the riches that you have acquired and gathered, وَتَيَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا, and the businesses or the professions, about whom you remain fearful of any recessions, وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا, and your dwellings, which you very much like. You have built very good houses, villas. You have decorated them, furnished them. You love them. Now, if these eight things, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ, are more dear to you than min Allah, from Allah, wa Rasulihi, and His Messenger, wa jihadin fi sabilihi, and making jihad, striving for the cause of Allah, in the path of Allah, to spread the word of Allah, to establish the deen of Allah. Fatarabbasu, then you go and wait, hatta yati Allahu bi amrihi, till Allah brings forth His decision. Wallahu la yahdi al-qawm al-fasiqeen. Allah is not going to guide such rebellious people. One of the most profound ayat revealed in that special context. People who were not liking to invade Makkah. But this is a very general ayah. It asks every one of us to have a soul searching, peeping into the depths of our hearts. And let there be a balance, an imaginary balance. Put on one side of the balance, love for eight things. Five relations, three forms of riches or belongings or property. On the other side of the balance, you put three loves. The love for Allah, the love for His Messenger. And the most crucial, love for jihad. You may say, I love Allah from the depth of my heart. You may think and you may claim that you love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What's the proof? The proof is, wa jihad in fi sabil. Now see which side of the balance goes down. If these eight things are heavier than those three, go away. You are rejected. If these three are heavier, then glad tidings. Good news to you. This is for each one of us most crucial. Allama Iqbal, in a very beautiful, couplet, he has grouped these things. In one sentence, ye malo daulat e duniya ye rishta o paivand gutane vehm guma la ilaha illallah, Maal o daulat e dunya, three things. List of heaven, five. Fathers, sons, brothers, spouses, relatives. List of heaven. Maal o daulat e dunya. Amwal un iqtaraftu muha wa tijaratun takshawna kasadaha wa masakinu tarbhaunaha. If the love for these eight is more than the love for Allah and His Messenger, and the practical side of it, jihad in the way of Allah. فَتَحَبَّسُوا حَتَّى يَعْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَعْدِ الْقَوْمُ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Now with this ayah ends that section of the surah, these 18 ayat, which were revealed before the victory of Makkah, to prepare Muslims and to remove from their minds the doubts about it, the hesitation regarding this. Now again, ayat which were revealed in Zilqa'dah of 9, along with the first six, now here we start, you can join with them, the first six, the ultimatum, the ayat of the ultimatum. لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاطِنَ كَسِيرَةٍ وَيَوْمَ حُلَيْنٍ. O Muslims, don't fear. That's such a big ultimatum. What has happened to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They were munafiqeen, all right. They would have thought, you know, again, that they have gone crazy. Such a big ultimatum to all the tribes of the Arabian Peninsula. What a big step. All the tribes. I had counted three. All the tribes with whom there was no treaty. They will come first. The ultimatum to them was only for 40 days. فَإِذَنْ صَدَقَ الْأَشْهُرُهُمْ فَاقْتُلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ. Then come those with whom there was a treaty, but without any specified period of time. 4 months. Those who had a treaty with a fixed time period, you complete the time. But you know, no tribe of the Arabian Peninsula left over. Challenging all of them. So there must have been some fears in the minds of some people. Even the sincere people, even the mu'mineen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reassuring, don't worry. لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاطِنَ كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been helping you in many battlefields. وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ. And also, on the day of Hunayn. Now this Hunayn was after the victory of Makkah. It proves that these ayat, they are revealed after Hunayn. Is ajabatkum kasratukum. When your great number elated you, you are very proud. We are 12,000 today. There was a time when we were only 313. And we were not defeated. Now we are 12,000. The 10,000 who had gone to Makkah and 2,000 more from the people who converted to Islam after the victory of Makkah, or they were still kuffar, but because now they were under Muslims, they volunteered to go with Muslims to fight for them. So the total number was 12,000. It was a big number. So they thought, now, no danger. إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَسْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا. Nothing could save you. وَزَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. And the land, despite its vastness, became very narrow for you. ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُمُ مُدْبِرِينَ. And then you turned your backs, running away from the battlefield. This happened at Hunayn. Some people say only 30 Sahaba remained with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you know, the more dependable traditions go to about 300. But only 300 out of 12,000. It was a big flight from the field. Because when they entered a valley, on both sides there were the mountain range, and on the tops there were the archers sitting. And the volleys, you know, arrows came in volleys. Sudden, there was a panic. People fled. ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down calm on His Messenger. This is the day when the bravery of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became apparent. And you know, all were running away. He descended from his camel or horse, whatever it was, I don't know. He took the alam in his own hand, the standard in his own. And then he said, "Rats, anan nabiyyo la kazeb, anabnu abdil muttalib. I am Prophet of Allah, there's no doubt about it. Whether these 12,000 stand here and protect me and support me, or they all flee, I am the Rasul of Allah. Anan nabiyyo la kazeb. And I am the son of Abdul Muttalib, is here, standing in this field. Anabnu Abdul Muttalib." And then he called, "Ilayya ya ma'ashar al-Muslimin, ilayya ya ashab al-Badr, ilayya ya ashab al-Shajara. Where are you running? Oh, those people who were with me at Badr. Oh, those people who were there at the time of the Bayat al-Rizwan, ashab al-Shajara. Then people returned. It was actually a reflex action, a sudden volleys of arrows coming. So this was a very sort of a reflex action. And people came round. ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ وَعَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَنزَلَ جُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. And he sent down armies whom you couldn't see, the armies of the angels. وَعَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. He punished and chastised those who had unbelieved. وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ. This is the reward of those who deny or reject the true faith. ثُمَّ يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns with His mercy to whomsoever He likes. That is, He gives him the decision He makes to repent. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts His repentance. ثُمَّ يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ عَلَىٰ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah is forgiving and merciful. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ نَجَسٌ فَلَا يَقْرَبُوا الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ. This was also one of the proclamations which were made by Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu in Mina and Arafah on that Hajj, that now from this year on no mushrik will be able to come here and do the pilgrimage. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ نَجَسٌ. Oh, you who believe, these mushriks who associate equals to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are filthy. فَلَا يَقْرَبُ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ بَعْدَ عَامِهِمْ هَذَا. Now let them, don't let them come near the sacred mosque after this year. وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ عَيْلَةً. And if you are fearful of poverty, because these pilgrims come, they present something to Kaaba, and they, you know, distribute charity to the people over here. Now if they are barred, we shall become poor. فَصَوْفَ يُغْنِكُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Very soon Allah will make you rich, will enrich you from His bounty. Insha, if He so likes. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah is all-knowing, all. قَاتِلُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Now this is the verdict about the rest of the humanity. Take away the mushrikeen of the Arabian Peninsula only of the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. About them, there was no third alternative. Either embrace Islam or you'll be killed. The third was that you flee away from here. Leave the land. But for the rest. Now here only the Jews and the Christians are mentioned, but this is actually for the whole of the humanity. قَاتِلُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَلَا يُحَرِّمُونَ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَلَا يَدِينُونَ دِينَ الْحَقِّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حَتَّى يُعْطُوا الْجِزْيَةَ عَنْ يَدٍ وَهُمْ صَاغِرُونَ. Fight against those whom the book was given before you, but they don't actually believe in Allah, although they profess to do it. They don't have actual belief and faith in the last day. وَلَا يُحَرِّمُونَ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ. They are not accepting as forbidden what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared as forbidden. وَرَسُولُهُ. And not only Allah, but also His messenger. وَلَا يَدِينُونَ دِينَ الْحَقِّ And they are not obeying the deen-e haq. And Muhammad is sent to make the deen of Allah supreme. They are not ready to accept the supremacy of the deen of Allah. So you have to fight them. Hatta yotul jizyata an yadim wahum sabirun. Until they pay the tribute, the jizya, with their own hands, that is, with willing submission, and they become subdued. They accept the supremacy of Islamic State, the supremacy of Islamic law, and then under that, they are allowed to live as Christians or Jews. And for that matter, as Hindus, as Buddhists, or so on, whatsoever they are, they can live, if they accept the supremacy of the Islamic State. They will not be forced to accept Islam. Not that you will be killed if you don't accept Islam. This coercion in religion, like Rahafiddin, no, on personal basis, except those people to whom Muhammad was sent, directly, his birsate khassa, that is the exception. But keeping them aside for the whole of humanity, no compulsion, no coercion. No individual would be forced to accept Islam. But the system, the politico-socio-economic system, it will be shattered if you have the force. The system will belong to Allah. قَاتَلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةٌ وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ But when the deen is supreme, under this deen, supremacy of Allah's deen, you can remain as Christians, as Jews, as Hindus, as Buddhists. You will get the guarantee from Islamic State of the safety of your lives, your property, your honor. You will be allowed to worship anything in any way you like. You will have your full guarantee of the personal law, marriages, etc., as you like. Law of inheritance, as you like. Your places of worship will also be protected, like mosques, rather more than the mosques. All these things will be guaranteed to you, and a tax will be taken from you. But you have to accept the supremacy of the Islamic State. That is crucial. Because, you know, in a hadith which I have referred many a times in my lectures on Khilafah, there is the hadith from Miqdad ibn al-Aswad radiyallahu ta'ala an, included in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah. And according to this hadith, the Prophet said, لا يبقى على ظهر الأرض بيت وبر ولا مدر إلا أدخله الله كلمة الإسلام بعز عزيز وذل ذليل إما يعزهم الله فيجعلهم من أهلها أو يذلهم فيدينون لها The Prophet said, there will not remain even a single house made of bricks and clay, or nor for that matter any tent made of blankets from the hair of camel, in which Allah will not make the kalima of Islam enter. Global domination of Islam is to come before the end of this world. No house, no tent on the whole surface of the earth. The settled civilization as well as the nomadic civilization, all covered. لَا يَبْقَى عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِ الْأَرْضِ بَيْتُ وَبَرٍ وَلَا بَدَرٍ لَا يَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ كَلِمَةَ الْإِسْلَامِ But this kalima of Islam will enter in the house or the tent in either of the two ways. بِعِزِّ عَزِيدٍ وَذُلِّ ذَلِيلٍ Honoring the honorable one, if the owner of the house and the tent accepts Islam, he is honored. Islam enters in his house or tent, honoring him also. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Number two, وَذُلِّ ذَلِيلٍ The weak should have to subdue, accept the supremacy. What does it mean? His house or tent is also governed by the law of the land. Islam has entered in his house also. But he remains, you know, a kafir. He is deprived of the honor of Islam. And then this Prophet explained. What does it mean? Is there a reason? Imma yu'izzuhum, Allah will give them honor. وَيَجْعَلُهُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا, and he will make them the people of that kalima. They will be saying, أَشْهَدُ اللَّهِ إِلَهِ اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, or they will be subdued. أَوْ يُزِلُّهُمْ يَدِينُونَ اللَّهَا, the same term which is used here, يَدِينُونَ اللَّهَا, they will have to be subordinates to the deen of Allah. So this is the ayah. قَاتِلُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَلَا يُحَرِّبُونَ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَلَا يَدِينُونَ دِينَ الْحَقِّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حَتَّى يُعْطُوا الْجِزْيَةَ عَنْ يَدٍ وَهُمْ صَاغِرُونَ. Now a few things about these two groups, people of the book. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ عُزَيْرٌ ابْنُ اللَّهِ, so said the Jews that Uzair, Ezra, is son of Allah. وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَى الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ اللَّهِ, and the Christian said, Masih, Jesus, is the son of Allah. ذَلِكَ قَوْلْهُمْ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ, this is their saying, the words that they are uttering with their mouth. These words have no meaning, no real basis. يُزَاهِئُونَ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَبْلِ, they are imitating the saying of those who were before them from amongst the kuffar. I told you. But let me mention here. Trinity among Christianity came from Egypt. The old Egyptian Trinity was God the Father, Horus as Son of God, Isis as the Godmother. So the Christians imitated them. God the Father, Jesus the Son of God, and Mary the Godmother. That was the real Trinity. They changed it later on. Excluded Mary, Salamun Alayha, and included the ghost, the Holy Ghost. But the original Trinity was the same. And what happened to the Jews? When they remained in captivity in Iraq, for around about 100 years, captivity, Nebuchadnezzar, he invaded Jerusalem, and you know he killed about 600,000. And another 600,000 he took captives and took them to Babylonia. During that time in Iraq, the religion of Mithraism, that was popular. And here again, you know, the concept of Son of God is present in Mithraism. So they imitated Mithraism. They got this, you know, infection from the Iraqi people during their time of captivity. The Christians took it from the Egyptians. يُزَاهِئُونَ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَبْلِ, they are just imitating the creed of those who were there from amongst the kuffar. And I told you the same thing was done by Ismailis in India. When they started preaching in India, Ismailis, they told the Hindus, well, you believe in 9 incarnations of God. Just add a 10th one. Ali is the 10th incarnation. It's very easy. One believes in 9. What's the difficulty in believing in the 10th? Dasham Avatar. Dasham Avatar. He is the 10th incarnation. And just as Paul had abrogated the law, because it was difficult to say prayer, to pay zakah, oh, it's a hard task. No. Sharia is not for you. The same thing that Paul did. Abrogated Sharia. And that is why, you know, Christianity then spread like anything. You only change your creed and you become a Christian. You only believe in Jesus and all your sins, they are condoned. So it's the best bargain not to do anything. In the same way, the Ismailis, they abrogated Sharia. There's no Sharia for the Ismailis over there. Not for all. The Ismailis who dwell in the northern regions of Pakistan, they have Sharia. They are the original Ismailis who came from Iran very long ago. And Multan was one of the biggest centers of them. And Mahmud Ghaznavi invaded Multan many times only to finish these, you know, Batinis who had a very strong hold in Multan. And then they fled to the mountainous regions. And they took refuge over there. That is why they are found in Chitral, they are found in Gilgit, they are found in Hunza. These, you know, areas were not easily approachable. They went there and they took refuge over there. But these people have Sharia with them. They have mosques. Not these people who were converted in Gujarat area and Bombay area and this area, you know. They were converted. They were given the rishwa, the bribery. For you, there is no Sharia. You come and believe. And you believe in only that Ali is the 10th incarnation of God. You become an Ismaili, a Muslim Ismaili Muslim. So that is the example among the so-called Muslims. اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. They have taken their rabbis and their monks as gods besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والمسيح ابن مريم. And they have taken Masih to be a god. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا. They were not ordained, but to worship only one ilah. La ilaha illahu. There is no god except him. Subhanahu amma yushrikun. And he is glorified from all that they are associating with him. Now what does it mean? اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. A doubt might have come to your minds. They don't worship them. And the same doubt was presented by Adi ibn Hatim radiyallahu ta'ala an. The son of the famous philanthropist, Hatim, Hatim Tai. His son was a Christian, Adi. When he embraced Islam, once he said to the Prophet, I couldn't understand. Quran says, I was a Christian and we never took them as our God. We never worshipped them. Neither the rabbis nor the monks. The Prophet said, didn't you accept them as the authority in law? Whatever they said is halal, you accepted halal. Whatever they said haram, you accepted haram. This we were doing. This is actually the divine right that you have given them. Making law is the divine right. Tahleel o tahreem, declaring something to be permissible and something to be forbidden. This is divine prerogative. If you have assigned to somebody else, you have made him God. If you have taken it upon your own self, the popular sovereignty, we can decide. You are claiming to be God. Because this is the exclusive right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you must understand this ayah. اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا إلها واحدا لا إله إلا هو سبحانه عما يشركون. يريدون أن يطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم ويأبى الله إلا أن يتم نوره ولو كره الكافرون. They intend to extinguish the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by blowing with their mouths. ويأبى الله. It is not acceptable to Allah. Allah is not ready to accept. إِلَّا يُتِمَّ نُورَهُ. Except that he has to make his light complete. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Although the unbelievers might dislike it. Despite their dislike, Allah has to make the light of guidance complete. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. This is the decision. Muhammad is sent, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The advent of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is with this divine decision. Now, to whom this ayah refers? Number one, the Christians and the Jews. Here the mushrikeen are not mentioned. The context is, مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ. اتخذوا أحبارهم وربانهم أربابا من دون الله. So you have to explain with reference to the context. And this is the situation which has reached its climax now today. I was reading some leaflet. Some sanctions are coming very soon on Sudan also. Encirclement of Iran, that is now as fundamental of the foreign policy of the United States of America as was the containment of Russia for so long a period. Pakistan is already in their pocket now. What is happening? يُرِيدُونَ لَيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Trials and tribulations will come to the Muslims, especially the Middle East. Armageddon is at hand. Al-Malhamatul Uzma is going to come very soon. Biggest persecution is going to the Arabs. And they deserve it. Because they were given the fazila. They have the book in their own language. Just like the special case of the pagan Arabs of the peninsula as compared to the rest of the world. The same connection is there. And this is going to come very soon, you know. But after that, there are good tidings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tables will be turned. But this is the basic thing. يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. You know, this ayah is repeated in Surah As-Saff. يُرِيدُونَ لَيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Here, only two words are different. يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَيَعْبَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا يُتِمَّ نُورَهُ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. And then the next ayah, which is the main axis of the whole of the Quran, according to Shah Waliullah Dehlavi, rahimahullah. عمود of Quran. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. This is the key to the understanding of the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was his mission? He was not a preacher at all. To bring about that total revolution and make the deen of Allah supreme. He was sent for this definite purpose. And these words are repeated in the Quran thrice. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. Once here, it's ayah number 33 of Surah At-Tawbah. Ayah number 9 of Surah As-Saff, the same, exactly the same. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. In the end of Surah Al-Fath, the major part is the same. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. Last but one ayah of Surah Al-Fath. But the end is وكفى بالله شهيدا. Instead of ولو كره المشركون. So the same words appear in thrice in the Quran. And Shah Waliullah said, and I absolutely agree with him. This is the main theme of the Quran. Allah has sent His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with two things, the book, and number two, al-huda, the book, and number two, deen al-haq, the just politico-socio-economic system, the just social order, the true system of life. And what for He has sent Muhammad? لِيُسْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. So that he makes this deen of Allah supreme. The ayah which we read last night, قَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةٌ وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Although the mushrikun, they will resent it, they will not like it. Well, it's divine decree, it will happen. It happened once at the hands of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the Arabian Peninsula, then extended to east and west and north, to the Oxus River in the east, to the Atlantic Ocean in the west, to the Caucasian Mountains in the north, but then started a downfall. But this will happen again. There is no doubt it will happen. Maybe after the punishments come to us, and the biggest punishment is going to come, as I told you, to the Arabs. Next stand we, the Pakistanis. 10 crores of us and 20 crores of the Arabs. 30 crores go to make 1/4 of the total Ummah. And why we? Because we establish a country in the name of Islam. So we deserve, and we have gone back on our words. Collectively, the whole Pakistani nation is culprit. Now, whosoever is more responsible, who is less responsible, it's a different story. But the nation is one. Nobody can say that I don't have any responsibility. وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَّا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً. We read this ayah last night. Anyhow, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْأَحْبَارِ وَالرُّهْبَانِ لَا يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَيَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Another criticism of these people of the book. And please, before reading the ayah, listen from me the hadith. لَيَاتِيَنَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي مَا تَعَلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ حَزْمَ النَّالِ بِالنَّالِ لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سُنَنَ مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ. You will follow in the footsteps of the former ummah. The same things will come to you. They have made their يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْأَحْبَارِ وَالرُّهْبَانِ لَيَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Many among these rabbis and monks, they are eating and devouring the riches and money and wealth of the people with false means. They have made deen a profession. And when deen becomes profession, it's the worst profession of all. لَيَاكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَيَسُدُّونَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ. They stop people from the path of Allah. They don't let go towards the right dawah. No, no, no. Who is he? He is not an alim. He is not a certified alim. But what said of Muhammad? He is an illiterate person. Who me? The same is said today. Who is he? We are the authority in deen. Come to us. Don't go. يَسُدُّونَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And let me quote here another hadith which sends shivering. يُوشِكُوا إِنْ يَعْتِيَ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يَبْقَى مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا اسْمُهُ وَلَا يَبْقَى مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ إِلَّا رَسْمُهُ. I fear that a time will come when there will nothing be left from Islam except its name. And there will be nothing left from Quran except the script. Masajiduhum amiratun. Their mosques will be very grand, crowded. Wahiya kharabun min al-huda. Absolutely devoid of guidance. Rituals, mere rituals. Wa ulamahum sharrun nasi tahta adim as-samaa. And their ulama will be the worst people under the canopy of the sky. مِنْ عِمْدِهِمْ تَخْرُجُ الْفِتْنَةُ وَفِيهِمْ تَعُودُ. From near him will come out fitna. And it will return to them. Starting fitnas will be the only hobby with them. This is the hadith. The same condition. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْأَحْبَارِ وَالرُّهْبَانِ لَيَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ بِالْبَاطِلِ. These things have come to your country also. Now, Taweez is being sold, I told, for $5, $10 in Chicago. It's going on now. Everything has come here. All the religious professions, they have fully overtaken your society also. For some time, you know, these things were not here. But now, full-fledged clergy, full-fledged all these institutions. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْأَحْبَارِ وَالرُّهْبَانِ لَيَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَيَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُم بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. And those who hoard gold and silver and don't spend it for the cause of Allah, فَبَشِّرْهُم بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. So to them, O Messenger of Allah, give them the glad tidings of painful torment. This ayah, it was, so to say, misunderstood by Hazrat Abu Zar radiallahu anhu. He declared, keeping any coin of gold or silver is haram. But the general body of the Muslims and the scholars, they think that if you know, if you have got some savings, you can have some gold, some ornaments of gold and silver and gold. But if you pay the zakah, it is not kanz. yaknizuna, these words are not applicable to it. But what's the basis of saying this? It can be said, yes. Inferring generally from the principles and teachings of Quran and the legal structure of Islam, which is correct, I agree with them. But the more important point they have missed, this actually relates to the people of religion. Somebody is doing a business. Somebody is a doctor, physician, engineer. He is earning on account of what? His profession. He is dealing in something. He has a shop, grocery. He is earning on account of that shop. What are these people earning? On what account? What are they dealing in? They deal in religion. So if they have amassed wealth, that is a peculiar case. You can have, you require, you know, livelihood. But if you store money, if you amass wealth, while there's no source of income with you, except religion, and this is the worst thing. This actually relates to the Ahbar and Ruhban. This ayah is one. So this actually, warning, stern warning, relates to the Ahbar and Ruhban, not to the general Muslims. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْأَحْبَارِ وَالرُّهْبَانِ لَيَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَيَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُم بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. This relates not to the common people, but to the people who say we are only serving deen. Well, why did you then make such a big property for you? It's going to your sons and daughters, and they are fighting and quarreling throughout the history, except for the last 50 years or so. No Muslim alim or scholar had any royalty, any rights reserved of any of his books. If you are charging royalty, if you are earning on that account, well, it's okay. Till your life, you need something to, subsistence you need. But now that becomes a property to be inherited by the sons and the daughters. And they will quarrel about it. What will happen? And what is happening, everybody knows. That's the point. How many books Asaf Ali Thalvi, he wrote, no royalty. Anybody can publish, whosoever likes, publish. And thank God, this point came to my mind from the very beginning. Whatever I have written, my cassettes, audios, I don't have any royalty, no rights reserved. Nothing of this sort. As Hazrat Masih has been reported to have said in his sermon, when he was sending his disciples to go and preach the word of God, you got it free. You convey it free. I never charge anything from you. You will also not charge anything from anybody. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu inna kaseera min al-ahbari wal-ruhbani la ya'kuluna amwal an-nasi bil-batili wa yasudduna an sabilillahi wal ladhina yaknizuna adh-dhahaba wal-fizzata wa la yunfiqunaha fi sabilillahi fa bashshirhum bi'adhabin aleem. Yawma yuhma 'alayha fi naari jahannam. Just remember the day, imagine the day when this gold and silver will be heated up in the fire of hell. Firarijar fatukwa biha jibahuhum wa junubuhum wa zuhuruhum. And then with this, you know, red hot gold and red hot silver, their foreheads and their sides and their backs will be branded. Haza ma kalastum li anfusikum. This is what you hoarded for yourselves. Fadhuku ma kuntum taknizun. Now taste. Taste what you had gathered for yourself and hold it for yourself. Inna iddat ash-shuhur inda Allah isna 10 shahran fi kitabillah yawma khalaq as-samawati wal-ardha minha arba'atun hurum. Now this is a general, you know, reformation, because the customs in Arabia, they had gone wrong. This calendar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, in the iddat shuhur in the lahe, isna ashara shahran fi kitabillah. With Allah and in the law of Allah, in the book of Allah, the number of months of a year is 12. From the very day, yawma khalaqa samawati wal ard, from the very beginning day when he created the heavens and the earth, this is the calendar. I wonder at some time, how come the week has 7 days? Everywhere. The year has 12 months. Everywhere. This universality, you know. So it is this calendar that has been fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No difference. In no civilization. In no culture. Nowhere. 12 months, 7 days a week. 12 months a year. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم. Out of these 12, 4 are holy or sacred months. As I told in the beginning, 1 for Hajj al-Asghar or Umrah, Rajab. And 3 for the Hajj al-Akbar or Hajj. That is Zulqada, Zulhijjah and Muharram. ذلك الدين القيم فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. This is the right deen, acknowledged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the straight deen. And do not wrong yourselves regarding them. وَقَاتِلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ كَافَّةً كَمَا يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ كَافَّةً. And you fight against these mushrikeen, all of them, as they are fighting with you, all of them. No discrimination now. After this proclamation, all mushrikeen are to be taken as one entity. Although there were three categories, you know, they have been discussed beforehand in the first 6 ayat. But essentially, they are one. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. And know it, be it known to you, that Allah is with the God-fearing, those who have regard for Allah, who are conscious of Allah every moment. إِنَّمَا النَّسِيُّ زِيَادَةٌ فِي الْكُفْرِ. But this nasi was the invention of Quraysh. Because they were the custodians of Kaaba. They thought they have the authority to change these months. This year, this month will be sacred. They completed the 4. Number, they remained intact. But they could change the calendar. This is nasi. إِنَّمَا النَّسِيُّ زِيَادَةٌ فِي الْكُفْرِ. This is an addition into disbelief. يُضَلُّ بِهِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. By which these peoples who have rejected the faith, who have gone astray, they have been led astray. يُحِلُّونَهُ عَامًا وَيُحَرِّمُونَ عَامًا. 1 year they declare it as halal, and the other year they declare it the same month to be haram. لَيُوَاتِعُوا عِدَّةَ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ. So that they complete the number of 4 months that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided. So they kept the law regarding the number, but they were changing the months. زُيِّنَ لَهُمْ سُوءُ أَعْمَالِهِمْ. This evil deed of theirs has been made beautiful for them. They very much like, you know, the authority. We can declare it. We are the custodians of Kaaba. We can declare, no, this year, instead of Rajab, it will be, say, Shaban will be the month for Umrah, and it will be haram. No fighting, nothing of the sort in that month. They thought this is, you know, our prerogative, our authority. Wallahu la yahdi al-qawm al-kafirin. Allah is not going to guide such ungrateful people or those people who suppress the testimony of their souls within and reject the faith which has been presented to them by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is not going to guide them to the right path. Now what happened in the last Hajj, Hajjatul Wada? All these discrepancies, you know, taken together, the calendar came to the original calendar on that 10th year of Hijrah calendar. The real, you know, now the month of Zulqa'dah was really the month of Zulqa'dah. If your clock, you know, is going fast, 1 hour every day, after 24 days, the time will be absolutely okay. So this happened But this was by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why in his khutbah, the sermon of the last Hajj, the Prophet said, Istadara zamanu kahayatihi yawma khalaqallahu samawati wal ard. Now, all these, you know, mistakes and discrepancies taken together, but you know, this calendar has taken a full round and it has come to the same correct position. The position on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created on the first day when He created heavens and earth. Istadara zamanu kahayatihi yawma khalaqallahu samawati wal ard. With this ayah number 37, this discourse ends. Again remember, out of these 37 ayat, 18, from the 7th to 24th, they were revealed in the 8th year of Hijri calendar, before the victory of Makkah. But the first 6 ayat, and these 13 ayat, from 25th to 37th, they were revealed in the month of Zulqa'dah, in the 9th year of the Hijri calendar, when the Hajj caravan had already left. And then because the first 6 were most important, they were to be proclaimed, then Hazrat Ali was sent, radiyallahu ta'ala an, and he made that declaration on behalf of Muhammad. Or actually, this became, you know, a sign and symbol of the perfection of deed. Al-yawma akbaltu lakum deedakum, atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. The accomplishment of the al-birsatil khassah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Special assignment that he had to fulfill himself. Stood accomplished, fulfilled. That is why I told you he took the testimony from the audience. Ala hal ballaghtu? And the reply was, in one voice, Inna nashhadu annaka qad ballaghta, wa addaita, wa nasahta. And there are more words also in one tradition. Inna nashhadu annaka addaita lamanata, wa ballaghta risalata, wa nasahta al-ummata, wa kashafta al-ghummata. They bear testimony. And then he said, فَلْيُبَلِّغِ شَاهِدُ الْغَائِبَ. Now it's your duty. Duty of those who are present here, to convey to those who are not present here. That was the second aspect, which he had initiated already after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, by sending his letters of invitation to Islam. And you know that has culminated in the Battle of Mota and the journey to Tabuk, and that will be discussed in the coming ayat, inshallah. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Azim, wa nafani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa zikr al-Hakim.